Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Regina King for Cadillac Escalade.
When people ask, Regina, do you like to compete? I say, bring it on. Those are the moments that drive you to achieve more. And when you win, you keep reaching higher. To me, that's what the Cadillac Escalade represents. It's always evolving in technology, in design, everything. Because success isn't the end. It's just the first step to what comes next.
The 2021 Cadillac Escalade. Never stop arriving.
Rashford is in here. He scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Trying to get in again. Thank you, man. Guys in my head like shampoo.
Manny. Ready!
It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
The bars done. Slap one, slap two, that's your dancer. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
All right, welcome to another week of Make United Great Again. Joined after a good week. The best thing about this week was the fact that he finally introduced Rodney to fellow Cootie. And but yeah, but yeah, I'm joined by Rodney. How are you doing?
Yeah, you lot introduced me to like basically little mini pods. 28 minutes.
Hey, man, that's so vibes.
I had to wait, what, 5 minutes to hear one lyric? 5 minutes.
That's real music, bro. Mad. Bars, nigga. I'm here joined by Ayo. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad.
It's been a while still. How you been?
Yeah, not bad. Just watching these bums every week. It's just depressing.
I'm back again with the doctor, Michael. How you doing?
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row. Let's keep it up, man.
Of course. We need that consistency, bro. We Need that.
Trust me.
All right, before we get into it, this jam-packed week, obviously I've got to do the normal shout-outs that I do. The Patreon, I'm going to try and bring something out tomorrow about the PSG and Leipzig game. Just a little review and preview. Just seeing what how we're going to do in the Champions League and everything like that. So sign up to the Patreon. We've got content coming. Obviously, the Pogba watch. I mean, it's been a bit better recently, according to some others, it hasn't been. But you know, we won't talk about that. Got more content coming. There should be a top 30 within a few weeks, hopefully. And yeah, the Patreon, just sign up because I need to eat, bro. I really need it. The Discord. I mean, I really wish I was on the Discord for the Arsenal game store because them man been chatting worst scene. But yeah, man, you need to join the community. It's so much fun and just so enjoyable. So join that. And obviously, as always, on Wednesday, the YouTube, the visuals come out. So if you want to watch via that, you can do that. But now that's all out the way. I'm going to defer to my cast about the two games you had last week. So first off, we're going to do it in chronological order. Going to go with PSG. And we had Mark on last week, so I'm going to go with Rodney. What did you think about the game?
So when I saw that Pogba weren't starting, I was thinking, yeah, we got a chance here. Like, let's go. Before the game, I was thinking, I dread to think what they're going to do to Pogba, little pockets in behind him, little space in mind. But yeah, it was all right performance. To be honest with you, if I'm being honest, Ollie's a bit of a coward for not starting Pogba. Like, you can line up with him in some capacity, but I guess he feels after some of the results we've been having at home and just the way we've been playing football, some of our main players have been off for the boil. I guess the formation he went with and the personnel he went with, he probably felt it gave him a bit more compactness, and then he had quite a few pieces to come off the bench. Yeah, PSG was all right, but I think people are getting carried away because that PSG team, they were missing loads of pieces. I don't even think they cared about the game. I think for them, mainly it was just vibes. Honestly, I don't think they cared about the game. The only person that cared was Di Maria because obviously he's been at United and he hates us. So that performance there, it was all right. I don't know how much I'm going to take from it because PSG were just that bad. But I don't think we were great. Rashford was terrible up until his goal.
Oh, my God.
But Telles has got some whips on him. So looking forward to seeing him and Cavani for sure. And that formation, I think that's what I think. In most of the big games that we play, probably away from home, I think that's what he'll go with. Three at the back. It didn't look too bad. He looked quite. Lindelof had a great game, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was a decent performance.
Dissy, I want to talk to you about Twan's Zebe because I feel like after 10 months, he delivered quite a performance. The two times he ducked down that turtle in France. Yeah, man. Just want to know your thoughts about that performance from Twan Zebe.
I thought he was excellent. He hasn't got the reputation for the best on the ball, but he's shown some things on the ball that our other centre backs don't show, which is a little bit of composure and I can pass forward. Who would have thought it? So that was really good from him. And in his duels, like usually when Mbappe is one on one somebody, not even one on one, like he's been put through and he's run to the ball. 99% of defenders is night-night. If that was our other centre-backs, like I'm talking, if that was Lindelof, we had a good game. I'm thinking goal or penalty. No, all definitely red. Goal. Yeah. Maguire, 100% red. 100. If you're not red the first time, red the second time, but definitely by the third. We've got at least three yellow cards or three goals. But he showed his pace. He showed his strength. And also, it's one thing to have pace and strength, but it's also have the intelligence to not be rash and lunged in. Because Jones has that athletic ability, but in them situations, prime four Jones would have tried to slice that court. And we see what he did to Hazard in, I think it's Hazard. Final. Did he also do it in a World Cup? Who did he foul in the World Cup?
I can't remember. The World Cup.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he fouled something for Belgium in the World Cup, gave him a penalty, I'm pretty sure. But he's done a better time. So I was really, really impressed with his performance. He was so solid. But PSG weren't that creative. As Roddy mentioned, they didn't have a lot of their team. So many of us remember PSG having Daniel Alves, our right back, then Munier. Both of them weren't there. And they spent 35 million on some guy called Kehrer, who's absolutely fucking
that's not a footballer.
He's not a footballer. That's somebody who should have been on Love is Blind or
bro. That's not a footballer.
It actually looks like Rodney. So they had Rodney.
Damn, that's what I was about to say that as well. Like, man, have Rodney play right back.
Rodney was injured, so they had some Firenze, who's a bozo. Left back, they had Kozawa, who's also another like wannabe Rodney. He's fucking diabolical.
What's this today?
Anybody who's really light skinned is going to be you. Their two centre backs were okay, but in midfield they had Danilo, who was passing it to empty spaces on the pitch. When I say empty, I mean empty for PSG and Man United players. Yeah. They had Herrera and Idrissa Gueye, who are basically the yin yang version of each other. They run around, kick people's ankles, short back and sides, no inventivity. So, and obviously, you had the three world class players up front, and they were just starved the ball. The commentators talk about how deep Neymar having to come get the ball, but that's because they weren't getting it. Usually, you'll see, I like Bernat. I think Bernat's a quality left back. He would have made a difference. They would have usually a midfield of Marquinhos and Verratti. Verratti's an absolute baller, so that would have made a difference. So, they didn't really have their normal team. And we're definitely able to benefit from that because, yeah, we set up deep and compact, but it's a lot easier if the supply line to the front three doesn't exist. I think we probably could have got away playing 4-2-3-1 because that midfield was so dead. So it was we were very comfortable. Like I think Mbappe had a couple moments. There was like a crossing where the ball was like scrambled off the line. Outside, Neymar had a couple pop shots, but outside that, United were comfortable. What did happen, I clocked, was in the second half, they made a change and Di Maria went into midfield. As soon as we went into midfield, we were getting fist up. Like, they were onto us. They got the goal from own goal, Martial, fucking hell. You know, black gloves, fresh trim, killer. Yeah, for the ops. So he's
off the mark for the season. That's what I know.
Yeah, That's true. Yeah. He's off the mark.
So they were really, really dominant. And then Oli brought on
Pogba.
And who else? He brought on somebody else as well.
No, he just brought on Pogba.
Oh, it was Pogba for Telles. And he changed the formation. And we don't really see Ollie make tactical adjustments. He just usually is like for like. So I've got to give him his credit for that because the tactical change and obviously Pogba being able to actually, I don't know, retain the ball and pass it kind of stems the flow. Then the flow of the game, and then United. I thought United were a better team since Pogba came on for us. United were a better team, and then Rashford managed to pull it out with a great goal.
I wanted to speak a bit about. I just wanted to ask you about the two up top, Michael, Martial and Rashford. It was a weird game because Rashford and Martial weren't good, but one scored an own goal, one scored the winning goal. So I just wanted to get your comments
Marshall
on
that. Marshall won a penalty as well, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, Marshall did win the penalty. The ball went to him. He spanned the defender, and the defender could only take him down. I don't know what defender it was. Was it Dalot?
Yeah, it was Dalot.
It's funny. We were talking about it the week before on the pod about them two and could they work as a tandem. And our feeling was Rashford should probably stick on the wing and let Marshall stick up top. I didn't see enough. Like, I think they work well together, but I didn't see enough in that game to be like, yeah, that should be a permanent sort of fixture. I think, but I can't lie, his tactics worked on the day. Like, if you get the result away from home, albeit from, as the others have alluded to, a not very strong PSG team. Like, you got someone like Telles on the wing. Is Martial take advantage of that if you're playing two up top? Oh, is my audio gone again?
No, it's gone, bro.
Alright, cool. I'm yet to be convinced about them two up top as a duo. I'm yet to be convinced.
Can I come back on that?
Mm.
I don't think there's an issue with them two up front because I think if you see. I think they both played up front against City and they absolutely slapped them senseless.
I think the issue is in certain games, they play too wide.
Yeah.
Because we don't get the width from the wing backs because they basically play like left and right back. You basically play center back.
They split too far. It's, like, it's pointless because you've got no one in the box, no one anywhere. Exactly.
And Ollie seems to like them to split. Obviously, they're both adepts in working in wide areas anyway, but it's a bit difficult. And you don't usually see duos up top split that much. So I think that's a bit of an issue. I think it's more of an issue of design. When they're around each other, when they can be close to each other, whether it be them two up front, like we saw away to City last year, or one of them playing left and one of them playing up front, whether in previous years at LVG, when it's Martial left, Rash up top, or more recently with in reverse, they combine pretty well with one another. And we also saw when they were playing with Greenwood, all three of them combined well. So I think tactically, I know what Ollie's trying to do, he's trying to get the width, but I think you should get your width from either your midfield or your... You don't want your forwards to provide your width because who's going to be in the box?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so I think
unless he's playing like Pogba in a further advanced role where he can get in the box. Other than that, it's pretty much void.
Yeah, but Bruno wasn't really getting a box like that.
I think
a lot of our attacks were more transitional attacks, so it might be Bruno who's busting it to them.
Exactly. You know what I mean? But I don't even think, like, from what I've seen, I don't think Bruno is that type of player that gets in the box more. He's more like edge of the box stuff. So from what I've seen, I don't really think he's going to get in the box to get on the end of things. But
I think it depends on the nature of the team, because I think Bruno does make some good runs into the box, but I think he takes a lot of responsibility because when you're playing the Chuckle Brothers as a pivot, he's going to have to come get the ball because
they're going to pass it forward, isn't it? They're going to find him.
Fred will give it to you if you give him time enough and nobody's getting in front of you. But he's not going to whiz it around your Fred through the lines. You know McTominay. McTominay's going to try to get the ball in the first place. So,
it's crazy.
It makes it a bit difficult. Like, Bruno did get that goal against Brighton, which was a good, obviously, it was a counter. And that's
even
him
Newcastle.
Arriving late in the box.
True.
And that shows, obviously, you go beyond the man or you go beyond the forward, like you make that run. I don't think we see enough of that from our midfield. I guess
when you have
people that play the pivot, you're literally the only person you've got is Bruno. Obviously, you expect the three forwards to interchange in that, but I don't think we see enough running beyond. It was good to see it that game, actually, because I don't think we see enough of that. And clearly, that was the winning goal for me. Obviously, when you make it 2-1, obviously, the two extra goals were just like, icing on the cake, but that was a winning goal, so it shows it makes a difference.
Midfield's stiff, man.
But it was actually interesting that when Pogba came on and we changed to a diamond, Martial and Rashford were a lot closer together because Pogba and Fred were able to get out to the wings to do their jobs and provide the whip. So that was an interesting change. But we got 3 points off to win a Stein Champions League. And
support for this episode is brought to you by Mrs. Myers. A delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyers, everything we make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived ingredients, our cleaning products work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. So bring a little bit of the outside inside your four walls and bask in the wonder of a garden from the comfort of home. Mrs. Meyers, rooted in goodness. Shop now at MrsMeyers.com.
And we had the game on the weekend. And we went back to a back four. Tuanzebe, Telles.
Who else? Not Telles.
Huh?
Sure.
No. But
the omissions.
Oh, who got?
Yeah, Tuanzebe, Telles, Martial, and someone else. I can't remember.
Telles wasn't even in the squad, bro.
Yeah. So I think those were it, but James, Mata, and Maguire came in, and we changed the back four. it was a horrible game to watch.
Yeah, it
was a horrible game to watch. I just want to know if there's any thoughts that you could grab from that very scary game.
None whatsoever. It was one of the most boring games I've watched under Ollie. I think at home we've lost our last four. I think that probably contributed to how Ollie. I think it's our last four, right?
We've not won since we beat Bournemouth 5-2. I think.
So I think he's a bit of a coward. He's gone with something that was safe. He played pretty safe, and so did Lampard. So it made for a horrid showing, to be honest with you. And even the lineup he put out, it wasn't, again, no Pogba. So I don't know whether others have a. Others want to say what they think about that.
No reason in the lineup.
Yeah, it was. There's not much. There's really, really not much to say about that game. It was horrible, horrible watch, horrible.
At the 55th minute, Ollie seemed to made it seem like he wanted to win the game. Brought on Pogba and Cavani. Pogba had to do some translating for Cavani. But in terms of what you saw from the Uruguayan, what did you think?
Yeah, fact, great movement. You know what? It's so weird now because watching Martial, I'm watching him. Like, there's nothing wrong with the way Martial plays. Don't get me wrong, but it just shows how different a number nine we probably needed. Because I think his first touch, he made about two or three runs to get that near post run, and he was unfortunate with it. So, and then all game, I think he's making great runs. We just didn't have the midfield, or we just didn't find him. Like, players were ignoring. Rashford ignored him, I think. Who else ignored him? It might have been Fred ignored him. A few players ignored him, and he made great runs. He does look like a player that hasn't played in a while, like in terms of his touches. He didn't really hold the ball up great, but his movement is awesome, man. And if we can get Tellez on the left, I think that's a good little weapon to have.
The good thing about that one you talked about was the fact that he made a run, didn't work out. He went back and made the same run again. And I think the problem with Martial and Rashford is that they'll make a run. They won't make that second run again. And that's what being a forward's about, just continuously making that run. For 15 minutes before Greenwood came on, I was crying tears of joy because Bruno was playing right wing.
you said it last week. Like, hey, you and Mariah were saying it.
But it only happened for 15 minutes. What did you think? How do you think he did out wide?
I never want to see it again. I never want to see it.
He did that double agent out there. He didn't want to play there.
It was disgusting. Wan-Bissaka and Bruno on the right wing. Saka, I never want to see that again as long as I'm alive. Like, Jesus Christ. It's like the ball comes out right. Listen, if I was Chelsea, I would have had nobody in the left hand side. I would have over the middle. What is the point, bro? Wan-Bissaka and Bruno, nothing's coming from that side. Nothing. Bruno did not want to be out there at all, bro. You could see these body language. That guy has Ollie on ropes because Ollie won't take that guy off no matter what. And I just don't understand. He was dying. Like, he looked like super unfit, and he's played virtually every minute. And obviously, didn't have much of a preseason. Just take man off. It's not like how do we take off Mata first? He was the best player on the pitch.
Mata
looked bare upset, you know. I know Mata won't complain, but he looked proper upset.
He looked vexed. He gave it away in his facial expressions. But what annoyed me about that, although Mata has been the best player, he did accept that he'd be a bit part player. So, like, you can't really be vexed.
No. He did accept
that. He accepted that, bro.
Yeah, there's a thing with being a bit part player. But at the end of the day, this is a competition. And we're here. We're not here for, participation. It's not a school football team. We're here to win. And Mata was the best player on the pitch. So how can you take me off? I'm the best player on the pitch. Are you fucking mad? And you had the Chuckle Brothers still there local.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't understand is that you're at home against Chelsea. Have some ambition. Like, even though at PSG, like, you're away from home, you're probably scared about the threat of the three up front. I get it. You're at home against Chelsea. Have some ambition, bruv. Why you got two defensive-mindedly midfielders? Like, that's what I'm saying. Play, have one if you're shook. And then you got Pogba, you got Van der Beek, you got Bruno, then push forward, man. That's what I didn't like about that formation. It's bare negative.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think it is. I think things to take into account. Obviously, Ollie speaking about Pogba's body and COVID. Another thing is also, I generally think he's like, our defence, he knows the defence is awful. Like, it's undeniable. So it's like, boy, these men need hella protection. And inadvertently, it's just pamming your options because all our best players are all in the offensive phase of the ball. Like, if you were to list United's best 6-7 players, they're all literally evil. The deepest line of them will be Pogba, who really is an advanced midfielder. All our best players is Pogba, Rashford, Van der Beek, Bruno, Mata, Martial, Greenwood, Cavani. All our best players are offensive-minded players.
Very top-heavy.
We're super top-heavy. So I think he's trying to protect them clowns on the back. But in that game, here's the problem. When you're trying to win football games, unless the opposition is going to make errors, it's very difficult to win football games when you have your team midfielders who are like Bruno and Fred, who are just functional players. McTominay and Fred on a good day, and your fullbacks give you nothing. Wan-Bissaka gives you nothing, but at least he can defend. Luke Shaw doesn't give you offence, he doesn't give you defence. He doesn't even give you vibes.
He was shook. Bruno told him to run, he was shuffling.
In that scenario,
there's no space for him to run. It didn't make sense anyway.
No. In that scenario, you make the underlap.
Just give it to Shaw on the ball.
But you know Shaw can't because he's a pussy himself.
Make the option, innit?
You got to drag someone.
He wasn't doing anything standing there. He did nothing standing there.
Just looking like one Teletubby.
But you know Shaw can't cross.
I'm telling you, if that was Mata or Van der Beek or Pogba, then they would give the ball to Shaw, they would have moved. You see what I'm saying? Bruno standing
but
there.
Shaw's not finding that second pass though. So what's the point? Just make the run.
Listen, you've got to be a decoy. When you're bouncing the ball up there, you're just a decoy. Just run.
I don't think that's understanding the distance and the lack of space and distance. It didn't make sense for Shaw to make an overlap. I don't understand.
Yeah. There was so much space to make that underlap.
The underlap, definitely.
Yeah, the underlap was perfect.
I think we should have brought on Van der Beek and Greenwood. Actually, no, we couldn't. We only do three subs, innit? I even forgot. We should have brought on Greenwood a lot earlier, and for one of the Chuckle brothers, because that game was there to be won. As soon as Pogba came on, because I can't really think of that the time. And you know when Fred took a bad touch and then Pulisic ran and took a shot. That was the only really thing they did. But they had 63% of the ball. As soon as Pogba came on, Kante and Jorginho's jolly up stops. So we're getting more, Pogba's getting it popping. Bruno started to appear, pop up. What needed to happen was we needed to bring in another offensive player to go along with Rashford and Cavani to give them something to think about. So I think if we were a bit braver, we would have taken that game, which is quite disappointing.
The in-dash OLED display in the Cadillac Escalade has 38 total diagonal inches of color display. So why do we give it a curve too? I guess you could say we like to bend the rules. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade, never stop arriving.
But they've been alluded to quite a lot. And they've been called the Chuckle Brothers, and that would be Fred and McTominay. And it was interesting tonight watching Monday Night Football. Neville was commenting about the fact that Ollie was a bit more defensive, and he spoke about the fact that we play a back four and a back five is a bit of a sideshow to the fact that our midfield is the biggest problem that we faced in the Premier League this season.
Have you not seen that defence, bro? What?
I don't understand.
The reason we're going with five at the back is because the defence is so bad. We can't play Pogba because the defence is so bad. Like it's nothing to do with the midfield. The midfield is very functional. There's pieces there. You can make things work. You've got Van der Beek, Pogba, Bruno, Matic, Fred and McTominay. The last two are probably the least important, but there's pieces there to make it work. But then you look at the defence, you've got Maguire, Lindelof, Shaw and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Come on, we know what the real issue is here and we know what we're trying to mask. He's being very, he's a dickhead there, yeah. So.
But let me continue. So he showed clips of obviously Palace and Brighton, and he showed the Palace won, Pogba lost the ball, and he showed McTominay trying to get back and saying that United were leaving a lot of space to be counted onto. The Brighton one, he basically said Pogba moves forward, and he said that's fine. Scholes was doing that for years with Keane. But what happens is that Bruno loses the ball. Neville glosses over that completely, by the way. Brighton counter. And then he says, Pogba points to Wan-Bissaka to cover the player that is free. When really, what players do, when there's a man free, they point to that player. But Neville made it seem like he even said himself that Pogba wants other people to do his job for him, which is, you know, what, I mean, whatever. And then he shows clips of Fred and McTominay versus Chelsea and how there was a back four, there was a square between Maguire, Lindelof, McTominay and Fred, and how Fred and McTominay were able to get about, do the defensive jobs, and the fact also the fullbacks were able to go out wide and press the wing backs because Fred and McTominay could cover the spaces. And then he shows a graphic and he says that Fernandes plays better without Pogba. And he shows a graphic which says Bruno with Fred and McTominay and Bruno without Fred and McTominay. He shows four games that Bruno has played with Fred and McTominay and Bruno has better stats than the other 15 games that he has played with other midfielders. And those four games were Everton, Spurs, Newcastle and Chelsea. We've drawn three of those games, but by the way. And then the nine games in all competitions, were, he said there were big games in there. I mean, most of them, those four plus PSG, the other three were against LASK, Club Bruges and Norwich. And there's another game that I couldn't find. But I just want your opinions on the Fred and McTominay midfield, because it seems to be a thing where people are suggesting that that might be our best midfield in terms of the team going forward.
How many times are we going to go through the same thing? How many times? I fucking hate Gary Neville. He's a nasty.
Was heavy one on the pod for a sec.
Nah, he is everything I hate in a man. I hate it. Fucking slimy. Just what I'm saying, like, he, like, even with Man United players, he wouldn't even disturb until Roy Keane was there. Then he had a vim to disturb, you know what I'm saying? And he will indicate little things without any evidence. Like, that stuff is so disgusting. Okay, let's go through this again. Gary Neville will go, they do this all the time. A couple big games, these men run around, kick people, call, they get the results, they start gassing it. Then obviously, we know what it's about, the Pogba agenda. Oh, are they better off without Pogba? All right, cool. It's one thing you can nick a couple games, do you know what I mean? When nicking games is not the same as winning games, you know what I'm saying? Because you're relying on bare variables going your way. You're going to concede possession, you're going to concede territory, you're not going to be able to create as much chances. You're hoping that if you create a chance, you take it and you don't make a mistake. That's a lot of variables to go through. Cool. So United might have like a one or two all right result. And then the more and more games you play, the more and more times you have, because most of the teams you're going to face, they're not going to be as good as Chelsea or PSG. You're going to have to come out and play. And guess what happens? Nothing happens. So all last season, Gary Neville was talking about the lack of creativity. They need a flair player. This is why Pogba was missed. He's the best player at the club. And then the Fernandes thing is just so funny because everything they complain about Pogba, everything is what Bruno does, but worse. Like, you don't get the same level of technical security. You don't get the same level of creativity. You just get a man who's going to tuck away bare pens. That's what you're getting. So it's just, I can't believe. And then they're going to say, if you look at City's team, if you look at Liverpool's team, there's a quality gap. When you're talking about McTominay and Fred, you're not going to win no football games like that. And to say the midfield is the biggest issue, when in the pandemic, you were gassing about, Gary Neville was completely gassing about how Pogba and Matic were badding up teams in midfield and allowing the front three to run riot. And then, do you remember the West Ham game and Southampton game and how he's talking about Solskjaer knows that he can't change these players for McTominay and Fred because the drop-off is too big and they need to get Champions League. How has that changed in 5-6 games? How has that changed? Like, how many times are we going to go through the cycle of, Pogba defensively? Don't get me wrong, Pogba's defensively is higgy. Okay, cool. But he wins you football games from creativity. Oh, defensively, you want to play these players, they fill in the gaps. It's the same thing with England. Say rubbish, they say. Come to the championship, European championships. They'll play Latvia, they'll get had up by Latvia. 1-1, nick to go on a set piece. Come to the quarterfinal, semi-finals, can't create a chance. we need to start creating, getting more creative players, players that take risks. What happens to the ones that take risks that don't fit in your mode? Pogba's a maverick. Let's have it right. He's a maverick, but unfortunately for him, he's playing CM, isn't it? It's very difficult to manage a maverick and CM. But I think under the right structure, you can kind of get away with it. Like for France, he's comfortable playing there. Yeah, but France have somebody who almost knows what he's doing coaching, and they have good players. You see what I'm saying? I think a lot of our issues with our midfield and with our defence is that we have very, very bad coaches. Elijah, Michael, Rodney, what top team don't press the ball?
From the front, yeah. Look at Liverpool City. That's their whole game. That's the whole bag. You press from the front. The strikers.
So because the best form of defence in a modern game is attack. So teams like Liverpool and City, as soon as they lose the ball, they are hunting to get it back. They're not even trying to allow you to have periods of game where you're popping a ball around in your... And how many times do you watch a City game or a Liverpool game and a man are just there, just knocking the ball around in their half? It doesn't happen. They're chasing, they're hunting the ball down. We sit back, we let teams come into our half, and then we're super shocked that, wow, man are finding spaces. This is the Premier League, bro. That's quality. You're going to give people time to stay on the ball. That's quality. So we're glaring over Ollie's lack of ability to coach. Ollie doesn't change anything. As well, just a roundup. He doesn't change anything. So the Van de Beek should be playing. What are you telling me? You can't. I know they're probably trying to say, oh, you can't play Pogba and Fernandes together. That's probably the conclusion.
I mean, that's
what obviously that's the angle they're coming on. And so, I don't understand.
Carragher said after Palace, he said that Bruno and Pogba can't play together. It's impossible.
That's
Neville said to be fair to Neville, he said that. He's not sure why Solskjaer hasn't tried a 4-3-3 where he has one sitting and then Bruno and Pogba. And he referenced Man City and he said, with Guardiola, Silva and De Bruyne weren't disciplined midfielders before he came, but they were when they were there.
They were number 10s. They're playing out wide.
Lords. Speak on it, bruv.
Number 10s playing out wide, bro.
Like, they won a league like that. Come on, man.
Like, no, they won a league. They snapped everybody senseless.
Trust me. Had two number 10s playing CMs. Come off it.
How can you be giving this pool of talent that United have? Because United, an offensive face, they've got bare talent. And you are finding ways to play McTominay and fucking Fred. That is an indication of how shit you are as a coach. That like, you actually are scared of your life. Like, that game was the El Cowardo between Lampard and...
How long have you had that one?
They're both fucking cowards. It was embarrassing. Like, both teams you could be got at, you have those players. It's so simple. Like, if you have that level of talent, you try to. But man, let's play Daniel James, bro.
I really skipped over that because I can't do this anymore.
Like, where was
Oh, you got muted again.
What's the purpose of, like, why do they think that you only have one offensive flair player at once? You coach, just fucking coach. Like, you have Pogba and Bruno on the pitch. Your strikers are absolutely laughing. Well, they might want to punch at Bruno half the time, but they're going to be laughing. You see what I'm saying? And also, the run-up with the Bruno thing, I'm sorry, I'm on Bruno so because I just don't understand it. The guy is getting accolades for penalties. Because really and truly it's penalties because it's not his general play because his general play is so bad. It's so bad. Like, I think he's literally had one. And who did we play before Newcastle? I think Newcastle, the first time I say, do you know what, Bruno, I think you had a good game, you know? That's the first time since...
Since Brighton? Watford, personally. Okay, do you know what? I'll give him Brighton because he scored two goals. But
yeah, he was good against Brighton. He's. I think obviously, don't get me wrong. When he came, obviously it was all this. Oh, there's an agenda. Everyone's loving this guy off and stuff. But at times he does prove to be our talisman. I do agree. Like, there are times he's bare lack with the ball, and you're thinking, oh, come on. But when it comes to penalties, that's his bag. And I know we shouldn't be praising the man for penalties, but you have to stick him away. And I think, unfortunately, the way he set up the team, everything, we look at inspiration from this guy and we hope Bruno can do something. And that's the way he set up. But obviously, I think what he should do, like I think as Gary Neville alluded to, we can take the pressure off Bruno if you play one defensive midfielder.
Take Bruno out of the team and
get two creative midfielders in the middle. Pogba, Bruno, Van de Beek, let two, it should be two out of three of them, one hold it. And it should be McTominay, well, not even McTominay, it should be Fred and Matic fighting for that DM position. And then out of the two other positions, let it be Pogba and Van de Beek or Bruno, and let them do their thing. I personally think that the gap
between Van de Beek and Bruno is so large. I can't stand players like Bruno who give the ball away too much. For what he gives us offensively, because if you take up, I know it's hard to take up penalties, because anybody else can take them, Rashford can take them, for example. Are we looking at him in the same light? Because his 11 goals and 9 assists becomes 3 goals. And do you know what I mean? Because you're taking every set piece. Like, if your creativity is coming from dead balls, I'm not really trying to hear it, to be fair. You see what I'm saying? So,
David Beckham, fam?
No.
That guy could whip, man. That guy could whip.
Beckham, man.
That guy could crack, bro.
You see what I'm saying? Like, nah, man.
He passed him or sick, to be fair. I'm just messing.
I want to get on.
No, quickly as well, Elijah. Just frustrates you so much. So, I hate Neville and Carrico because they're actually good analysts. But what I don't like about people with agendas is they, like, when they're wrong, they'll wait until there's an angle to kind of go back on, because like Pogba's made them look silly bare times. So they'll just say, oh, if there's an angle, they'll bring it. Bro, in the three games you're talking about, you're talking about their man plugging spaces. What was happening? Newcastle, 1-1, or was it 1-0?
No, 1-1.
Nothing happening. PSG, 1-1, PSG in ascendancy. Mm-hmm. Chelsea, Chelsea in ascendancy. Pogba comes on. Oh my God, we start playing better. What did you know? A guy who could dribble, pass and shoot makes an impact. Wow. Do you know what I mean? And I think Van der Beek would have had a similar impact because he can play football. So this notion that we need these two guys to run around and kick people's shins is outrageous. It's not going to last. Well, anyway, continue.
It's criminal that Van der Beek's on the bench. I know we're going to probably talk about it. I think it's absolutely criminal. Absolutely.
The available AKG 36 speaker sound system in the Cadillac Escalade provides 360-degree sound, so you hear studio sound on the road. The 2021 Cadillac Escalade, never stop arriving.
So, I wanted to ask Rodney, because Evra has been very expressive about his opinion about Van der Beek. So, on Saturday, he said United don't need Van der Beek. And then he clarified his thoughts today, saying that he said, Fred, Matic and McTominay, love them or hate them. In the big games, they can play deeper, they will do their job. And then he said, is Van der Beek better than Pogba? No. Is Van der Beek better than Bruno? No. And he said, why did United sign this player? And he said that he was basically intimating that even though he's a good player and he's upset that he's not getting games, he doesn't understand why he was signed. And that was more why he said we don't need him. He says it was an unnecessary signing. And I actually want to hear your thoughts about this, Rodney, just to see what you think.
It's just so mad that ever watched post-lockdown 11 players play 90 minutes for 14 games. He watched that as well as we did. Players were playing close to 600-700 minutes or whatever. How can you be confused why United have signed depth? If Donny van der Beek was getting more minutes, he would not be talking like this. It's because he's not playing. But touching on what he's comparing van der Beek, he's essentially probably our best midfielder in terms of what we probably need. He's certainly better than Bruno. So it's just ridiculous. I think Uncle's tapped. Honestly, I think he's tapped. Uncle's tapped. Because we need depth. I think we kind of addressed that in the summer a little bit. And it's obviously annoying that Van der Beek is not playing because of what's in front of him, of what's playing in front of him. So it's just nonsense to say that after 5-6 games, we don't need Donny van der Beek. And it's going to be a long season where we're playing 2-3 games every week, probably up until December. it's just ridiculous. He'll get his chance, and yeah, we all want to see him start now. It's ridiculous why he's not starting when you're watching Bruno Pam balls into people's shins and off the pitch and whatever else he's doing. But come on, man, that's just a nonsensical opinion. It doesn't make sense. I don't know what's wrong with Uncle. Honestly, seriously,
it's crazy. It's interesting because I think back to the Brighton League Cup game and the Newcastle game, and the second goal came from both of the second goals came from great work from Van der Beek and Mata, and it was just, it's clear to see that just with Mata, he's passed it, but he is very technically secure and he's not an idiot with the ball. And I feel like Van der Beek is very similar, and it is not a surprise that when they were both on the pitch together, they linked up straight away. And I feel like with Mata, he's a good litmus test for a good player, because whenever there's a good player around him, he links up with him straight away. Martial, yeah. Rashford, Pogba.
Yeah, definitely.
So in terms of, if there was a way to get Van der Beek into the team without somehow dropping Pogba or Bruno, is there a way of doing that? I mean, I know my way of doing that, but...
Nothing. Yeah. You can. Yeah, if you're playing a dead team at home, if you're playing a team that you're not even worried about, you can let them literally just be the three midfielders. If you're playing
not via defence.
There's
only two teams you can play that against. Fulham.
Yeah, if I played a dead West team.
The easiest way is just to move Bruno to the right. Look, I know no one doesn't want to see it, but just fuck him off to the right and ask him to put a few balls. If he gets 2-3 balls in, it's a good day for him, because at least then we get to see Van der Beek doing normal stuff that a normal AM number 10, whatever you want to call it, can do. That's the simplest way. Just move him out to where when he loses the ball, Aaron Wan-Bissaka's behind him. Nobody care. No one, you care, but it's not really like, oh, we're losing a ball in midfield. Like,
no, the four of us having Greenwood on the bench for Bruno to start doing fake
if we're being realistic, Ollie's not going to play too many different formations. He's not really that flexible tactically. So we have to think of ways that Donny's going to fit in our default formation, which is 4-2-3-1. So the easiest way is just to move Bruno to the right. If he's not going to be dropped, which is ridiculous, because there's times where he loses the ball 25 times, which is more than 3 or 4 players put together on the pitch. So just some games you can't really afford to do that, even versus smaller teams.
I think I saw a stat that end of last season, just like midfielders in terms of like everyone who registers, who's made, I think he's made enough passes to count the data. He's the worst in pass accuracy or something, or ball retention. I'll find it. It's just so jokes.
I saw that. So I think it was a minimum of 10, 15 games. Of all the defensive midfielders, I think Bruno had the worst pass accuracy.
Yeah, it's no surprise. It's just he gets the ball and he has to press triangle. He has to press triangle. It's like
that's his bag.
He's playing with a pad, just bare triangles.
What's bad about when you talk about this, United fans be like, oh, but he tries things. No. We don't say he tries things for Kevin De Bruyne. We don't say he tries things for James Rodriguez. He does things. Like, it's different. They actually execute. So we're not going to pretend that Bruno is playing a style of football that we ain't seen before. Cesc Fabregas used to like have adventurous passing, but you won't look at him at like a turnover machine. Like, it's because Bruno is like, if Bruno's trying to see a match through ball, he doesn't make it, I'm not gonna be mad, because I want my players to be that. And that's what I like about Bruno. He's got character. But at the same time, that like, even simple, when I'm simple slide ball passes, you can't even execute them. Like, yeah. And I just see like Rashford get frustrated so often, because like so many times he's like free. So I don't know, like, we can't beat this guy, because we're going to keep on getting penalties. He's going to keep on scoring.
It's annoying me, because Martial is keeping this guy alive. It's pissing me off.
Yeah. Whilst he's still productive, it's going to be hard to argue with those stats, man. Like, you can't... He's scoring penalties, yeah, but at the end of the day, the record books are going to see 10 goals. They're not going to see 10 penalties. So it's hard to really argue with it.
Bruno's launching counter-attacks to the other team. Like, it's nuts.
He's got his flaws, but whilst you're still being productive, it's really, really hard to take a man out of the team.
Yeah. That's just my football philosophy. I just hate turnover merchants. That's why I was never the biggest fan of Aaron Ramsey. That's why I absolutely hated the way Dele Alli played football. I just don't, I don't care how many goals they score. I just, because I've seen other men score the same amount of goals as you and be still technically secure. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? So, yeah. So I feel
there's
like
Van der Beek. Definitely
Van der Beek is, unless we play a diamond, Van der Beek is, in terms of getting meaningful minutes, he's going to take an injury or somebody being seriously out of form.
It's just crazy that you'd rather play, obviously, Daniel James would play the same position, but you have a Daniel James on the pitch, Matt Tomine, Fred, and you have Van der Beek that can't get...
Yes, mad.
I just want
him to try a different formation just once. Just be a little bit different. You can try, like,
what are you recommending?
Play a different formation. What is his bondage with 4-2-3-1? I think we don't even have the pieces for it. We have literally, we could play every other formation in the book of football because we've got the pieces to do that other than 4-2-3-1. What is this bondage with? It's like him, Carrick, and with that next guy. Is it McKenna?
McKenna.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what 4-2-3-1's got over them, but it's mad.
I will always say, and I'll always go back to this interview with Carrick where they just say, they fear playing 4-3-3 because they fear someone will sit on the DM. And that just shows they don't trust them on the ball. Yeah. they want to have two, so it's harder for them to press. But if you're playing a two with Pogba, they're not going to care about the other guy because he's crap on the ball. So they'll just press.
That's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the same thing then, isn't it?
And some of them, and sometimes they just press Fred because you see Deeney speak about it. Watford game. They took the ball off Fred. Five, six times.
Lunch money every day. them used that were getting £10 a day. That's what it was. Give me a lunch.
Honestly, if you actually put a man on Fred, he's done out here. He's done out here. He's so bad. Like, if you put a man on him, because he's like, what, about 4'10", weighs about 20 kilograms.
Yeah, he's short.
And he needs four touches. Nah, man.
I mean, to be fair to Fred, he was the best midfielder on the pitch in Paris. He actually put in.
He's got them in them. He's got those performances in him, like where I think he's done it against City, he's done it against PSG last year as well. He's got those big performances in him, but then it's like one performance out of 38 games almost. So, the other day I was like in the group chat trying to defend him, and I just thought, what am I doing? Everyone was pounding me, and I'm thinking, nah, man, what am I going to say? It was just mad. It's so hard to even defend him, man. It's just so hard. With a lot of our players.
You're actually too funny. That day I was like, what's
in the end, I'd say, this is not the hill I would have died. Bye, guys.
This ain't the hill I want to fall off.
Bye.
But anyway, before we get into the preview of Leipzig, I want to, small thing to touch on. We finally released our yearly accounts for the year, and we've seen that COVID affects us quite a bit. We projected between 560 and 580 million, and our revenue was 509, I believe. So that is an estimated drop of about 70 million. Have any of you seen the accounts or just a preview, like a review of it or anything?
No, let me not lie, I haven't.
Yeah, so essentially, the big loss came from the match day and the Champions League.
Apparently, don't we get like 5 million a game or something like that?
Yeah. So it essentially worked out that what they've done is that any game after June 30th, so there are about four home games, they're going to be put on this year's accounts basically. So they're saying they lost about, I can't remember how much it was exactly, but it was a fair bit from the match day.
Broadcast, yeah, match day. So I've got an account in front of me. So last year it was like 110. Is it 110 million or
for the broadcasting?
No, that's just match day revenue. 2019, and then 2020 is basically 90, and then broadcasting is where the mad drop is, like 100. I think it's 100 M's. Crazy, like 241 2019, and then 140 2020. So yeah, it just shows, man. Like obviously, without that broadcasting revenue, it cut. I think obviously some of that obviously is not having a Champions League as well as the pandemic and stuff. So yeah, money's tight, man.
What another interesting thing was the fact that our cash balance dropped from 308 million to 52 million. So essentially that is because of an increase in player purchases. They've deferred commercial payments. So our commercial people are deferring our commercial payments until next year. And there was another big reason that I cannot remember. There's another big reason I can't remember right now as well. But yeah, so that's 256 million gone. And that's why they were saying this summer they've actually spent a lot on player purchases on Diallo, Fernandes, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just interesting with that fact that we've lost quite a bit of money. But the Glazers still got their 23 million dividend. it's confirmed that it's 1 billion they've taken out of the club.
That's crazy.
How do you take a 23 million dividends out when you still owe, when you've got...
I know, so essentially because we're on the
stock market,
the stock exchange, rather than having drawings, you get the dividends, so it's paid out to the Glazers every year. I mean, the thing is that it was confirmed before COVID struck, but still, if COVID happened, you can like not take out 23 million. But
yeah, man, so that's y'all's problem.
Yep, basically.
Also, that money doesn't go back into the club at all.
No, that goes straight.
That's in their cash pockets, bro. Jeez, what? They're laughing. Yeah, when
is that? Are you saying 23 million every quarter?
Every year. So essentially, they have taken out 112 million in the last 5 years. So since we've been on the stock exchange, that's how much they've taken out.
And we pay, what is it, like 25, 26 million a year.
And just to make it even worse, the owner financing over the last 5 years, Roman has pumped in 440 million into the club. Everton have had 299. Arsenal have had nothing. Man City have had 142. Liverpool have had 75. Spurs have actually... The owners have actually taken out 40 million over the last 5 years. And United is 90 over the last 5 years. And then it will be 112 once now the accounts have been confirmed. But yeah.
Course.
So the difference in an investment between our owners and Abramovich is basically
300 million.
Half a billion.
Half a billion.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Over the course of their ownership, City have put in a billion. They've taken out a billion. So the difference between theirs is 2 billion, which is...
2 billion. Which you could turn a pitch. That's why if City have their players injured in midfield, they play Gundogan, Rodri and Foden. And we play the Chuckle Brothers, so.
But anyway, just a small segment just to show how badly our club is run.
It's a business, man. It's a business to them. Them brothers, they're
That's a joke. That's a joke.
They're cleaning house.
That's a nasty business. That's business that is nasty, man.
Read this financial report. They're talking like we can monetize our brand. We can see global reach. Nothing about players, fam. Nasty.
If I speak, they will do me like a certain right.
Nasty.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, bro. If I speak, they'll do like a certain rapper. But anyway.
Free Elijah, boy.
Oh, man.
Their dividend could have bought us Thiago.
That's actually
facts.
But
100%.
We've got a game on Tuesday. Got the...
It's not Tuesday.
Huh?
It's not Wednesday.
Well, Wednesday, yeah. Sorry. got a game on Wednesday versus the Red Bull Utes from Germany, Leipzig. It's going to be at home. Do any of you know much about Leipzig?
Just they got that defender that everyone was talking about, innit?
What, up and coming?
The up and coming,
you. And that up and coming.
Oh, is that where he plays, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the top of their league. Jeez.
The top of the league, four wins, one draw. Very good.
But I thought it was going to be like they're potentially looking at four players out for Wednesday's clash for their first games.
Lima, which is he's very good defensive midfielder. Amazing at winning the ball back. Very versatile as well. I think he's touch and go for it. Sabitzer, their creative midfielder, he played 23 minutes on the weekend. Mukaleli, I think he's the centre back that lines up alongside Upamecano sometimes, and then there's another person that I don't know. I think it was Lampel or something like that. He's a midfielder as well. But considering what you know and saw of them in the Champions League lockdown knockout stages, what do you think about them?
They might give us. They might hit us with a mad thing, you know. They might hit us with a mad
thing. I think that would be one of the games where we probably didn't expect to lose heavily, and we probably will lose heavily.
Bro, they might hit us with the Madison.
Yeah, do you know what the Madison is like? When we looked at those fixtures, we were looking at PSG like that might be a 5-0s, but then I think maybe Leipzig will be the one where we probably lose like 3-4-1 something.
Are
like
we
that.
Home? Are we home away?
We
are
home. Home.
So, you know, yeah. We're getting pumped.
Oh, yeah. Definitely get pumped now.
Yeah, we're getting pumped.
I'm going to bring some balance, man. Because last week, we were saying our PSG will cook us and we won, innit?
I didn't say that. That's what I
said. So I'm going to say we're winning 5-0, fam. We're going to clean them.
We're winning 5 what?
I thought you said you was bringing balance.
you got to say we're going to get cooked. You guys are going to say we're getting 5-0, cooked.
5-0, that's not them. Balance.
I'm tipping it over. Because, no, to be honest... To be honest, I think if I'm going to be brutally honest, I think it'll be a tight game. I think it'll be a 1-0. I think it'll be 1-0 to them. I don't think we'll win. To be honest, like I want to be proven wrong, but I think if I say
we're going to lose 4-1 and we win 3-0, I win anyway. So it doesn't really matter. I'm still smiling like with the rest of them. What, I'm going to get a few teeth. You man said we're going to lose. Yeah, we won.
So, I can't lie.
Yeah,
like, I legit don't think we're gonna win like 60% of our games. I'm jaded, bro. I was even talking to our boys today in our touchdown chat. I said I don't think any manager since Fergie, I think within the first 3 months, I've called for them to be sacked. I think it was the first game on international break. I said I want him gone. I think when you paid Di Maria up front, I said yeah, get him out of here.
That was Arsenal still October.
Yeah, I want them gone. Mourinho, I want them gone by October or November, one of the 2 months.
You want them gone by August, something like
that.
By August.
I remember it was a City game because we had City quite early in the year.
That was September the 12th or something.
I remember he played a midfield of Pogba, Fellaini, and Rooney against Fernandinho, Silva and KDB, and I said, do you know what? It's enough. You've got to go. And Ollie, so I just have no faith in Man United. I just see Leipzig are a well-coached team, and we struggle a lot against well-coached teams. Southampton came, hit us with the matting. Do you know what I mean? Them teams that, even Brighton, they should have slapped us. They hit us with them. Teams that are very well, Sevilla, we struggle against teams that, yeah, we may have the talent advantage, but they're very well coached, and especially teams that are aggressive and pressing and stuff like that. But if I can remember correctly, Leipzig do leave a lot of spaces in behind, if I can remember correctly, from the games I watched them against. Was it Atlanta they played? No, it wasn't Atlanta.
They PSG played Atletico and PSG.
Yeah, and even Spurs, watched them against Spurs. So, yeah, maybe that can give you some hope, but I won't be surprised if we get slapped with a young 3-1.
What's interesting with Leipzig is that they're very versatile tactically. So they sometimes play a 4-4-2.
They'll hit Oli Vahezzi, and you won't know what to do, bro.
Yep.
Then it's done.
So it's from what I've seen of them, it's more like it's gonna be I think it's gonna be a 4-4-2 or 3-5-2. So considering that fact, what formation do you think we should play?
It should be 4-3-3, but he's gonna stick to his 4-2-3-1. He loves it.
I think he may try and go 3-5-2 to get Tellez in the team. Possibly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Can't Tellez play left back, or are they just scared defensively that he's whack?
I think they're just scared that he's a bit unfit. I'm not sure why because he's
but wing back is more demanding, right?
No, you could get covered by your left centre back.
He can stay up the pitch more.
Yeah.
Bruv, he's probably just as fit as Luke Shaw.
Yeah.
So
He's not as quick though.
He's not as quick.
But I need their whips though. I need it, bro. Those whips are delicious. It's a thing of beauty.
Do you know what? That's a very interesting question. If we do go three at the back, who's the two that you'll start?
Yeah.
What in the middle or up front?
Up front. Up front in the middle.
I think I think I'll go Martial and Rashford again. And in the middle, I think I'll go. Well, it depends on how fit Pogba is. If he's fit enough to play 90 minutes, I'll play Pogba and Fred. If not, I'll play Fred and Van der Beek. Cool. I won't even have McTominay in my under 23 squad.
And considering Maguire's back, what should the defensive partnership be if it's 3-2?
It's so mad. It's just going to go straight back to Lindelof and Maguire, and it's just annoying.
Firstly, I think it's a bit of racism there, but you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you on that one because you can't watch.
The leeway he gave Bailly. And what I've seen Maguire and Lindelof do, it's crazy.
Yeah. At least with Maguire, he's the captain, allegedly. He's captain in the armband. He's not that captain influence. And he costs 80 million. There's all those factors that weigh on Oli, and that's Oli's boy. The Lindelof thing is mad to me. Like, why does Lindelof get a longer rope than Bailly? I don't get it. Lindelof was dreadful last season, but obviously Maguire's our worst defender. But yeah, it's crazy. Axel, I'm just gonna assume, and no, I think, but I do think Oli rates Axel a lot.
Yeah, he does.
So I think Axel, see them, man, is a fitness thing. Once Axel's fit, it's peak. I know that one semi slip up, that Swedish poser done out here. Axel's coming in straight.
Lindelof has had a couple masterclasses this season, I believe.
Don't worry, he's coming.
He's had a couple.
Do you think that's why he didn't sign the centre back? Do you think he saw Axel was like, yeah, he's coming back? Because there's no reason in my mind for why they didn't sign one. So do you think it was Axel?
No, there was no coin, man. There was no coin.
Yeah, there weren't enough. I think they're gonna try to get up and coming. Next window, I'm guessing. I mean, next summer, so we'll see.
Yeah, because we bid for some youth from Monaco, Badashele or something like that. He sounds Nigerian, but he's not. But we bid for him, but Monaco rejected it and they kept him. But
he's 18, 19.
So 18, young guy. Okay, yeah, he's a young guy, but didn't materialize. But
How many centre backs have we got now? Six.
Jones
hasn't been registered because he's out until November. So,
That's so sad, Jones. You know, he came with so much promise. You know,
jeez. I mean, he's been out since July with shin splints, so he's been out for a while.
Shin splints. Man, don't want to play it. Man, just don't want to play shin splints. You know,
he had the surgery on them. It's a problem that he has.
Jeez.
Shin splints.
Yeah.
Jeez,
that keeps you out for that long.
Fam, you don't want to play, man. He's
traumatized. I mean, Michael's a doctor, yeah, and he doesn't believe it. So I mean,
that sounds scary. Steve McAnally, tell us what's really going on.
What's happening there? It's shin split.
Nah, that's scary.
I think who's that's the manager at Newcastle? It's Brucey, isn't it? He needs to take Jones, man. This is his type of player. Take him. What is wrong with Brucey? Just come and take him. You know you want him. Just take him.
Brucey's the last one left out of these British lads that will still take these bands because the rest of them are foreign youths. They've got their foreign plugs. Even Roy Hudson knows about the young wavy black dribblers, so he don't even want Jones.
They're giving him bare pieces, you know.
Give him more dribblers. Like, he wants to have We only have Moise, and Bruce left, so we just got a flog.
Where's Allardyce?
He's not got a job now.
He's chilling in Spain or something like that, man. You know that guy from me.
But yeah, considering everything, your honest score, for what do you think it's going to be versus the Leipzig?
I'm going to say 2-1 Leipzig.
I'll go 2-2. 2-2 draw.
1-0 loss.
I'm going to go...
positivity there.
I'm going to go 2-1 United.
If we win, they're going to try and cook up. On Thursday morning, they're going to be tweeting the Mugger account. That's what they did last week. They're going to do
everything. Well, we're lit. We're celebrating Rashford. Shut up, man.
The man didn't understand. I will say we're going to lose 4-1 and not care if it doesn't happen and we win. Because I'm still laughing and joking at full time. Like, hey, we won. Like, I don't care. Like, it doesn't like, you know that when I say, Pogba's going to be shit and then he's good. It doesn't bother me because I'm still watching comps. I'm watching comps like, Pogba's sick, then I'll go in the group chat. He had an all right game. Like, they can say whatever they want. Because I'm going to smile because we won.
Rodney and Seb are the most shameless.
Yeah, I don't care. Do what you want.
I forgot to ask for listeners' questions, but so. We've got Arsenal on the weekend or Sunday.
I swear.
Sunday. Got Arsenal
that is the El Cabido part two, brother. Another coward. Oh,
It's not party time no more, boy.
Yeah, I think we'll lose that game because I don't see how we're gonna Arteta's team's well organized. I don't see how we're breaking that down.
Leicester
get
got through
that.
It, and man, obviously City are a much better team than us. But Leicester got through it. I think we'll be all right. We're away from home. For whatever reason, we seem to play better away.
We're at home, I believe.
No, I think Arsenal. I think we're away, and for whatever reason, we seem to play better away from home.
Nah, I don't see it. I can't see it, man. I see us losing that one. I just don't see how we're gonna break down that organized team, man.
No, we're at home. Elijah's right.
Yep, we're at home.
Oh, Man United at home. Oh, well, scary. Yeah,
it's a definite loss then. It's a definite loss.
Scary.
Spurs come and slapped us 6-1. Who else?
Spurs actually attempts to attack. Arsenal have averaged like
imagine Arteta comes and says, "These youths are dead. I'm coming to attack."
Hey, do you know what? Yeah. That is the biggest disrespect. Because Arteta has not attacked since January, bro.
You know what? We got problems, but them and over there, they've been tricked. They've been had. They've been conned.
So Bios finessed them, Pepe finessed them, Laka finessed them, and now
Pepe scary.
Everybody's
that man for Arteta was pet because of Uniqlo drip and a couple 1-2s in the first game.
Uniqlo, fucking hell, man.
You know what? He came and said, "I'm coming to play expressive football. Like, I'm coming to do this. I'm coming." He absolutely conned them. Do you know what it was like when Mourinho came and said,
"He done it for three games." He done it for three games.
Crazy. And then he just went to whatever he went to. It's just insane.
And then he said, "Nah, these youths are dead."
I can't keep playing like this.
He just said, "I can't keep playing like this. They will lose me off my job." So he just said, "You know what? three at the back defending, and you've been doing it ever since, and you can't change that.
When's the last time we even beat Arsenal? I don't even remember now.
The last time we beat them in the league was 2018. Yeah, it's a couple of years back still. Last minute.
Yeah, it's just they're getting the better of us.
Yep, yep. Basically, last game of season. Last time we beat them all together was FA Cup 2019, 3-1.
Yeah, they've been punching us up, fisting us up, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
Scary. At home as well, scary.
And they don't get any better. I think our next few games are even just mad as well.
We've got Everton soon, I swear.
Yes,
Calvert-Lewin is going to be dunking all over Maguire and them. Oh, Lord.
Trust me. Maguire will be coming with his wrestling moves again, boy.
Do my light-skinned brothers.
Hey, that's a
ride at that game. We're riding that game.
That's the Rodney Derby.
Yeah, listen, even if we lose that game, I still win. You see what I'm saying? Just pieces everywhere. I'm still winning. No matter what happens, I win. Make Dominic Calvert-Lewin score. Yeah, I won. I'm telling you.
Hey,
I don't lose. It's all right.
All right. I feel like we've come to an end. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Dissu, Michael, and Rodney. This week, we're going to introduce you to Lag Babaja. I hope you all like him.
Who?
Lag Babaja.
What's that?
Is that a food?
Huh? No, it's an artist.
It's a Nigerian artist, bro.
Ah, oh, cool. What, is this some shorter?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, cool. I can fuck with that. As long as it's not 29 minutes. But how do you even make a song for 29 minutes? Do you just like do 2 minutes a day?
It's vibe. You just vibe to the beat, bruv.
What, for 29 minutes? Like,
how long's an album, my guy?
So what's his album like? 10 hours? 24 hours.
But anyway, make sure to use the hashtag #TouchlineFracker when you're talking about it. Share with your friends, WhatsApp, whatever, Instagram, do whatever. We're out.
Later.
Peace.
Rashford, he's in here, he scores! Marcus Rashford takes yet another step up the ladder. Thank you. And it's a lad from Manchester who scored.
Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Trying to get in again. Thank
you. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, my bang over. Only chance in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Manny. Ready! It defies description. How about
Martial is isolated. Skirtle here.
Stays till the bar's done. Slap one, slap two, that she danced on. Like Rashford, I'm a fast one. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U. Thank you, man. Bars in my head like shampoo. Violate my squad, might bang you. Only champs in my team like Man U. Yeah, like Man U.
Does anybody want breakfast? Guys, let's go. I'm leaving for McDonald's in 5 seconds.
Why didn't you start with that?
The Breakfast Stampede Meal. It's only at McDonald's, where there's a meal for every morning.
And nothing says morning like a classic sausage McMuffin with egg. Right now, get this all-time favorite for just $2 on the $1-$3 menu. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Sports Social Podcast Network.